You are now listening to an awesome sermon from the St. Louis Dream Center. Grab a pen and some paper. You're in for a treat.
Said Moses said to the Lord, "Why pick on me to give me the burden of a people like this?" So you know Moses was leading some hard people. When you can walk in the face of God and say, "Yeah, you treat me real bad with this one." And then he says to God, "Are they my children? Am I their father? Is that why you have given me the job of nursing them along like babies? Until we get to the land you promised their ancestors. Why, where am I supposed to get meat for all these people? For they weep to me saying, 'Give us meat.' I can't carry this nation by myself. The load is far, far too heavy. If you are going to treat me like this, please kill me right now." Now, I have become a little agitated on many levels. But I've never looked at God and said, "Well, you can kill me now." You know what? Because Moses must have been living a great righteous life. Because I don't know if I told God, "Kill me right now," he wouldn't say, "Okay." But Moses knew that God loved him. And he said, "Kill me right now." He said, "It would be a kindness. Let me out of this impossible situation." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Summon before me 70 of the leaders of Israel. Bring them to the tabernacle to stand there with you. I will come down and talk with you there." Isn't it awesome when God says, "I'm going to talk to you about this"? You don't really understand what you're saying. Isn't it great that God looks beyond us and realizes we really don't know for real? The Bible says that he considers our frame and he remembers that we are dust. And so that's why he just don't wave his hand and blow us away, because he know we don't know. And he told Moses, he said, "I'm going to come and I'm going to talk with you there. I hear you. I got you. I got you. You can't do this. It's too much. You want me to kill you?" But you don't realize you don't want me to do that. He said, "I will come down and talk with you there. And I will take of the spirit which is on you. And I will put it upon them also. They shall bear the burden of the people along with you, so that you will not have the task alone." Now, Philippians 4 and 13. And we all know this one. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." See, what we have to understand about the God that we serve is that he has an issue when we give him, when we halfway give him something. The book of Revelation says that God said, either be hot or cold. He said, if you're lukewarm, he said, "I will throw you away. I will spew you out of my mouth." So whenever God wants something from us, he wants all of us. The Bible says that he said, "Love me with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your spirit." God wants all of us. And so if God wants all of that from us, then God is making sure that when he gives us something, that he's not giving us half of what we need. He's giving us everything that we need. Because that's the standard of the kingdom. Either you give it all or you don't give none. And so God is not holding back anything. The Bible says that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God, who upbraideth not, meaning he's not going to hold any wisdom back from you. If you ask for it, he's going to give you all of it. And so God wants all of us. He wants everything. And so when God has given us all these gifts and all these wonderful gifts, we have to understand the fact that these gifts are blessings. They're just not something that we've been given, that's God blessing us with something that's greater than what we even realize that we have possession of. And sometimes we have these gifts inside of us that God has given us, but for some reason we don't really believe that they're there because of the situations and the life, and like I said, what people told us that we weren't. Sometimes life will lie on you and tell you that you're not something that God say you really are. Because situations, the way you grew up, the way people talk to you, the way they treated you, all of those things are a part of your makeup. And all of it, for the most part, have been lying to us about who we are in God. I was sitting one day, and God gave me this phrase. Well, it wasn't my phrase. I won't say I came up with it. But it's one that's out there, and when God said this to me, it really brought some things to clearance for me. And he said, breaking up is hard to do, but it's possible because it's necessary. Have you ever been in a relationship with somebody, and they told you that you, without them, you can't make it? Yeah, that was the room right there. All the way they talk to you as if you were nothing. And you know what I really don't like is when people try to make it seem like you ought to be lucky that they are in your life. As if I wasn't doing fine before you came along. Some people say, what are you going to do without me? Breathe. That's what I was doing before. I was breathing before you got here. And I guarantee you, by the time you get out that door, I'm going to take another breath. But what I understand the fact is that whenever we're in relationships like that, and whether it's family, and I'm a single guy, so excuse me for a moment if I go there. If you're married in the room, wave at me. Look at you. Don't say no, but some of y'all probably feel the same way. I'm just joking. And so it's so crazy how when a person walk out of your life, how the rejection makes you feel like something's wrong with you. And how it makes you feel like maybe I'm not good enough. So you go on a diet, you get smaller. And then you realize if you don't feed yourself and you go on this juice fast for like 3 weeks, and then you come off the fast with a Snicker, and now you look like... the Michelin Man. You dye your hair, you cut your hair, you cut your nails, you do all this crazy stuff. And the truth of the matter is, no matter what you do, they're never going to want to be there. And that rejection makes you feel like something's wrong with you, or that you are inadequate, or that you have to change all these different things. But the way that God created us, and the way God set us up, is that even if they left, it's not that we weren't enough. It was that God was protecting what he knew was already inside of us. And he knew that if they stay around us, that we'll never get the opportunity to really discover what he has placed on the inside of us. Because the thing that happens when your heart gets broken like that and rejection happens, God gets excited, because the first thing you do is start seeking. That's why you change everything about you, because you're looking. And curiosity killed the cat. But the Bible says if you seek, you will find. You keep knocking, and the door will be open unto you. Rejection sometimes is God's opportunity to really free you from what your situation told you you were. Rejection is the blessing that's in disguise. God gave me this one time. He said, there's a difference between rejection and isolation. Rejection, somebody throw you out because they don't see the value of you. But when you isolate something, that's because you see the value of it, so you don't want it to become contaminated with everything else. So if you get sick and they quarantine you in the hospital, that's because they're isolating you, because the outside environment will kill you. And so that's what God does. We look crazy to people, and the crazy thing about us, the quirky things about us, is God's way of making sure that it's almost like porcupine. Come on now, help me out. See me struggling, man. Give me some help. The porcupine. And so he has all of these sticks that stick out of him. And so when people come up to, when you embrace them, it causes you pain. And so you let them go. And so what God does is he causes that to happen. So when the wrong people start embracing you, they can't, because it's so much pain that they have to let you go. And that's why God's not trying to change you, because you are exactly the way he wanted you to be. And if they're rejecting you, that's because they're not supposed to be there. And when they walk away, let them walk. Stop chasing behind your bondage and run towards freedom. So God said to me, breaking up is hard to do, but it's necessary. But it's possible because it's absolutely necessary. And you know, even those people that we're talking about, those unfortunate ones that lost us, they didn't want the caramel skin. A little chunky around the edges, yeah. But they weren't supposed to. And this is what God had to show me. When I said breaking up with them is hard, breaking up is hard to do, it's not that you need to break up with them. You need to break up with the experience that you had with them. Because many of those people are long gone out of our lives. But the experience that we had with them is still prevalent with us every day. And so I got some friends that laugh at me about this, because, you know, I'm going to be transparent for a second right now, and then we're going to just go keep diving right on in. So I was dating this young lady, and I know y'all going to laugh at me, but she didn't quite know that we were dating. Unbeknownst to her, she was in a full-blown relationship with this guy that absolutely adored her, and she knew nothing about it. She knew that I was interested in her, but in the backdrop, you know, I would tell people, I was like, man, you see my wife today? I tried to speak that thing into existence. And I don't care how you speak something. If it's not the will of God, just stop wasting your breath. Because God is only obligated to bring to pass what he has promised. Anything else that you want, you got to go out and make it happen on your own. Not with God. If it ain't him, you on your own. So check this out. And so I had to finally break up with her, because there were so many times of rejection. I mean, like, I would ask her to go hang out. She would absolutely tell me no. And then I would ask her to hang out again, because, you know, I've been told that, you know, men, we're hunters, you know, we got to figure it out. So we keep pursuing. And so she kept saying no. And one time she didn't say no, she just said, why? Just why? And then finally she had a conversation with me. She let me drive her home from church. And I said, okay, so now I'll drive her home. And so I said, can we hang out? She told me, yeah. Blew me away. And so I was so stuck on this that I couldn't move forward in anything because I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that this woman was the woman that I was going to be with. And all of a sudden, I get a phone call the day we're supposed to go out, probably like an hour before. I already knew what that meant. You have changed your mind. And so, watch this. And so so she told me that she, and what was the best thing that she ever could do for me was in that moment. When I tell you, she told me never so many times. She said, I never, 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 never. She said, do you hear me? Never will want you. And I was like, but we together. Come on now. She said, what? She said, never. I mean, and I tell you, she nevered me. I'm talking about for real for a long time. And it broke my heart. And I didn't realize at that moment that that was the best thing that could have ever happened for me. And I did this one thing that that a few of my friends that noticed, they laughed. I think I told PT this. He probably laughed too. But one day I went and I stood in front of the mirror. And I broke up with her. I stood in the mirror. I didn't call her because that's weird, because now I understand that although I was in a relationship with her, she had never committed to that. And so I had to break up with all parties, and that was me and myself. And what I realized from that moment was the fact that breaking up, it was real hard. Because just like many, many of us saints that do this, I had put it out there that God said this was my wife. And so I had the embarrassment of having to go back to say I was wrong. But breaking up is very hard to do because you break up with the experience of it all. Because of that experience, it led into the feeling of what I felt as a child, which was always rejection, which always meant something was wrong with me. And God was always trying to show me that the fact there's nothing wrong with you, but everything's right about you, but they're not supposed to be in your life. And you cannot blame people for them not supposing to be there. You have to let them walk. And so here I am, now feeling always rejected and feeling like I can't really do anything. And what blessed my soul was that God always continued to bless me to always receive these opportunities. See, because when God gives us a gift, what I love about this is actually, let me go to this scripture. Malachi 3:10. Now this scripture, we always use this particular scripture as it pertains to paying our tithes. But remember what I told you, that the gift of God is the blessing that God is giving to us. And whenever God gives us a blessing, he gives us everything that we absolutely need. And even though the situations and the people that walked away told us that we weren't worthy or we weren't enough, God is removing them because they're the ones that's lying, so now we can see the truth. Malachi 3:10. It says, Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive. Now, what is the blessing about this scripture that's so awesome is that God said, I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive. And so what God says is, he said, I'm going to give you a blessing, mean one thing. And that one thing is going to have so many other things inside of it that as you begin to open one box, there's something else that you're going to have to open too. So each box leads to another box. One gift leads to the other, because there's way more inside of us than we know, because all we see is the one box. But if we ever take a moment to really lay before God and begin to open the box, we'll find out that there's another gift inside that one. And then if we keep digging, there's another one inside that one. And then if we keep digging, there's another one inside that one. That the Bible says that it's going to come to the place where you're going to keep digging inside that box, that you're going to find out that it's so much that you're not going to even have room enough to receive it. And so the Bible says that the disciples were on, they were on the lake of Gennesaret, and the Bible said they was washing their nets. And Jesus said, no, don't wash your nets. He said, lunch out. And he told them, he said, take your nets and throw it on the right side of the boat. And when they threw it over the right side of the boat, they had so many fish that they had to call out to their friends on the shore and say, come help us. And God is saying that if you are in the place where you still have room, it's because you have not truly opened the rest of the gifts, and you don't understand that there is more inside of you. And so God started doing this thing with me, because I say to myself, I say, man, I can't do that. Pastor Tony asks me to do a lot of stuff sometimes, and I always say, I'm like, man, that ain't me. That's not me. I don't do that. That's not my gift. And so anyway, I'll start just moving in it. I say, okay, I'll try it. I'll do it. And then when I go to do it, then I realize, like, whoa, I can do this. And then watch this. And then another opportunity will come. And I'm like, no, I can't do that. And then I step out and then I realize, wow, I can do that too. And then I step out in something else, and it's just like, I didn't think I could do that. And I can do that too. And then there are many other things and many other opportunities that God keeps giving. I was watching them steps. And that God keeps giving me. And the thing that I found out is that the whole time God has been building his track record with me. And the thing is that one miracle led to another one. And another blessing led to another one. And another gift led to another gift. And to the point where, see, this is the scripture that we quote all the time and we shout it out and we love it. But we really don't believe that we can do all things through Christ. There is nothing that you cannot do. I know some things is say that's not my lane. It may not be your lane, but it don't mean that you cannot do it. Because the thing that Paul said, he said, I can do all things. I can do all things. The thing about it is we believe in God, but we don't believe in ourselves. And we don't understand the fact that God needs you in order to bring this to pass. And if you believe that you can't do it, then how is it going to happen? Because God wants to use us. And so what I learned is that opportunity is the indicator that there's more inside of you. When you get comfortable with just what you get comfortable with this box, because it's real nice, it looks real Christmassy. But what God wants us to know is that the reason, and so this is what God presents the opportunity. And he presents the opportunity only to show you what else is inside of you. Yeah, that's it. Good. Because without the opportunity, we will never go back and unravel the box. And so opportunity is the indicator that there's more inside of us. And even when we find out that there's more in us, and we find, and God will start disclosing to us more, opportunities will disclose that. And then my second point is, don't get your lane confused with your comfort zone. Don't get your lane confused with your comfort zone. Because what we do is when we get comfortable, we think comfortable, okay, this is my lane, this is where I'm supposed to be. But what God is saying is God moves in faith. So if you're safe, that's not God. That's your comfort zone. If there's an opportunity that's presented to you that seems like it's impossible, that's your lane. And God doesn't hang out in our comfort zone. He hangs out in our lane. Because our lane is going to continue to take faith to move in that. See, when you're comfortable, that means you're not doing anything. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. Many people think that means to ignore him. No, but that means to push back. And so you have to do something. And so when God says that, when God began to talk to us about our lane, he's talking to us about the thing that makes us most uncomfortable. Don't get your lane mixed up, confused with your comfort zone. Third point. It says everything that you need is inside of you. I have some of the greatest mentors that I've ever had in my life right now. And that's Pastor Mike and Pastor Tony. And this is the thing that's so amazing to me that I realized as this message and as we've been walking through Gifted. Whenever I'm sitting with them, they never point to themselves and say, you need me. They always point me back to God, and they show me that everything that I need is already inside of me. When God gave us these gifts, he placed it on the inside of us. If you're looking outside of yourself for help, you have gone too far. Because everything you need, God has already given it to you. Not that we don't need, what we need is somebody to point it out. But they can't give us what's not already in us. And the truth of the matter is, just like those people that treated us like that, they can't give it to us and they can't take it from us when they leave. And so everything that you, God, intended for us to be will always be that, whether they are there or not. Everything that you need is inside of you. God has never placed anything, God has never placed anything before us that we don't have it inside of us to accomplish. And so for me, there's this, I want to show this video clip. And for me growing up, it's from the movie The Lion King. How many remember that movie? Woo! Come on now. That was one of my favorite movies growing up. I think I was probably about 10 or 11 when that movie came out. So that's been a long time. And so I just want to show this movie clip because it really touched my heart, man. The Lion King is always in my favorite, but I see so many kingdom principles in this particular movie that is beyond imaginable. But this actual particular clip is the fact that Simba has forgotten who he is. And he done ran into the desert because situations in his life told him, that's where you belong. And not only that, one of his arch rival enemies was his uncle Scar, that told him as a boy, run away and never return. Because the enemy knows if you stay where you are, that you are the real one that needs to be standing here, and you will have, and he will have to be dethroned. And he's not trying to give up his place because he knows in this particular case that you're the original king. And the enemy always try to talk us out of our blessing. He's always got some type of situation to prove to us that we are not worthy. And to be in all honesty, we really aren't. But because of Jesus Christ has made us worthy of it all. And in this particular scene, I want to set it up for you. Because even though you see Simba and Mufasa, but I want you to understand that when you see Mufasa speaking to Simba, it's God speaking to us about the fact that we're his sons and his daughters. There's more inside of you than the situations or people could ever have dictated you. God said, you're my son. He said, you forgot. All of that made you forget. And we all need those moments where God reminds us who we are. You forgot. Moses, can we go back there? Stay in this moment. God told Moses, when Moses was telling God, I can't do this. This is too much. It's too hard. Because the people kept yelling at him and dictating to him that, where is that, Moses? You said it. You said it. And he said, God, I can't do this no more. This is too much. And God didn't even respond to the fact that he said it was too much for him. He told Moses, he said, I want you to call 70 elders. And he told Moses, he said, you pick them. He said, I ain't going to tell you who to choose. You pick 70. And he said, you bring them to the tabernacle. And I want you to have them to stand there with you. And remember, God said, I'm going to talk to you there. I'm going to address this then. And the Bible says when he brought them to him, God said to Moses, he said, what I'm going to do is, and Moses, the 70 are standing here, and Moses is standing over there. And the key to this that blew my mind when I saw this, that God told Moses, he said, and I'm going to take of your spirit, and I'm going to place it on them. The thing that God did not say was that he was going to take of his own spirit. He said, I'm going to take of the gifts inside of you, and I'm going to place it on them. Not God withdraw from himself. And so he took it all from, not all of it from Moses. And this is the powerful point. The reason why God addressed it, and this is what God was saying to Moses, was that look at them, because all of that is in you. Sometimes God got to bring us outside of ourselves to really see what's inside of ourselves. And when Moses didn't think that he could handle it, God said, look over there. There are 70 men that are wearing the mantle, part of the mantle that I took from you, and it still haven't diluted that you're walking in. Remember who you are. You are more than life could ever tell you that you are. Life just keeps pushing us into God. And when it pushes us into God, he started unraveling things.
Hope you enjoyed that message. If you live in the St. Louis area or ever plan to visit, we'd love for you to join us at one of our services at 4324 Margaretta, at either our 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. service. Be blessed. We hope to worship with you soon.